if Bobi Wine won, I would wish he would address the issue of health and education as priority.
He's rallied millions and defied the Ugandan government multiple times in the name of change. But why have these efforts failed to get Bobi Wine anywhere near the presidency?
This time he is calling for a protest vote against government's failures. But can this really end Museveni's tenure?
Protest vote has two words. It has protest and it has vote. We are good with one. We are preparing for the other. We are good with the vote.
Bobi Wine also claims that his words echo the frustrations of many young, restless, unemployed Ugandans who feel that the system has failed them.
Critics say that Bobi Wine is all fire, but short on tangible solutions. Is he the really qualified Ugandan to unseat President Museveni?
I am not the most qualified. I've never claimed to be the most qualified. There are many qualified people there. My only quality is commitment.
What is really standing in the way of political change in Uganda? Is it Museveni's iron grip or the opposition's lack of strong leadership and winning strategy?
And can Bobi Wine's protest vote really inspire regime change? That is the conversation today.
My name is Mimi Mefoneu. Welcome to Under the Baobab.
And you can call me George Okachi. On this show, we make Africa's complex stories personal.
We do that every Friday of the week. We sit down with policymakers, politicians, and also opposition leaders across the continent. We would like you to be part of the conversation because we can see you're so much engaged on our different social media platforms.
Much please appreciated.
Join us and continue to subscribe.
Of course, this show is for you. And today we are joined by Uganda's opposition National Unity Platform president candidate, Robert Kyagulanyi Ssentamu, better known as Bobi Wine, the pop star turned politician, will be attempting to end President Museveni's almost 40-year decade.
Imagine a
40 years in rule.
Yeah, nearly 40 years. Yeah, it's not like Cameroon. But yeah, when you hear a pop star becoming a politician, you're wondering, what does he really have to offer? But he is 43. Mm-hmm. The NUP leader says that Uganda is in deep crisis, especially leadership crisis. And this time he promises a different approach. He is saying and urging citizens protest at the ballot box. This is something different.
Yeah, that's completely different. He's urging Ugandans to vote not just for him, but against status quo. His current political messaging, Mimi, has been, repackaged. Of course, he ran for presidency in the last election in 2021, which he claims till today that he won and the victory was stolen from him. But the messaging currently is such that he's using words of like, this is a civilian democratic rebellion against the regime.
You know, when
he's using issues like freedom and we must have it on our side.
Yes, and the words protest votes, you know, it sounds like rebellion, but it's actually a strategy to unseat a government that doesn't want to leave power.
Yes.
And it's kind of understandable because usually when the governments would hear words like rebellion, protest, they always feel threatened because they always want to stay in power. Bobi Wine says that Uganda's institutions like the Electoral Commission as well as the courts have all been captured by the ruling National Resistance Movement, the party of President Yoweri Museveni.
Yes.
But he is still insisting that despite all these failures within the structures, the systems, the institutions in the country, participation in the upcoming election in Uganda is still key.
Yes, it is still key for him. And of course, he embodies that, you know, feeling of I'm not giving up. I'm going for this, even though the institutions may be rogue, may be broken, the electoral system may be broken. We're still going for it. And we want to go for it with this new strategy called protest vote. So I just want to know, like when you spoke to him, what is the story behind the protest vote?
Remember when he grants interviews to the media, he always says, as long as I am alive, I would always run for the presidency and ensure that change comes to Uganda. But I sought to find out from him, why do this when you don't trust the system?
Yes.
Let's hear what he said.
I was never on record saying that I would never take part in an election. I've actually not said that. However, I'm also on record saying that going into an election without any other thought was futile. Therefore, we decided this time round to go into this election in what we call a protest vote. We are protesting, but want to protest with and for legitimacy.
For Ugandans watching somewhere in the suburbs, what would they understand by protest votes, and how does it translate to you taking over the presidency in Uganda?
A Ugandan out there understand that we are going into this election as a way of protesting against the impunity, against the injustice, against the violence, against the corruption, and we are protesting by voting it out. Not just casting the ballot. No, that's the usual of casting. But this time, casting the ballot and standing there and counting it and following it up and then questioning any efforts of averting it.
What are the guarantees that things are going to be different this time, given that you are using the same institutions to take part in the upcoming presidential election?
Yeah, now protest vote has two words. It has protest and it has vote. We are good with one. We are preparing for the other. We are good with the vote, but not only protesting for a leader to go and there's no other way. We are protesting because we have a problem and we have a solution as the people of Uganda.
Now, to that Ugandan watching you at the moment, what makes you think that you are the most qualified to lead this battle for change that you want to see in your country?
I am not the most qualified. I've never claimed to be the most qualified. There are many qualified people there. My only quality is commitment. And that commitment is born out of desperacy. It's born out of lack of options.
His commitment born out of desperation and lack of people who are offering themselves to support the regime change that he's fronting for.
Right.
And begs the question, why would some people still support a regime that many people are not comfortable with? That is the question that Bobi Wine is simply asking.
Which is something that we've seen in some parts of West Africa as well. President Bola Tinubu in Nigeria, when you see people still supporting him. But the situation of Cameroon is kind of different because at least Bola Tinubu has been in office for just a single term. But in Cameroon, it's so many years. And we saw during the elections that took place, elections governing body officials trying to violate laws just to keep President Paul Biya in power. And some of these people are kind of young people, young, energetic Cameroonians. And you're wondering, what is their end game? What is the objective trying to really keep
but
pushing?
Mimi, that speaks to selfishness. People who are feeding from the system. That is the only way you can explain why they would be supporting a system that is not desired by the majority within a country.
Because for me, I would support someone based on the policies. Let's look at the case of Uganda, for instance.
Yes.
We would want to question, what is Bobi Wine offering, which is better than what President Yoweri Museveni is also offering as a leader of the country?
Yes, and Mimi, and you see, as someone who comes from that region, concerns have been emerging that, you know, Bobi Wine is good with whipping emotion, you know, rallying support, and his political messaging, rhetoric, you know, it brings the emotive support that we see online and also during political rallies. But his messaging is short of, you know, tangible policies that he is going to offer as an alternative to what President Museveni is offering.
Mm.
And also within his party, there have been claims that he's, you know, his political style is self-centered. He only fights for himself, things that are, you know, of his own interest.
Mm.
Yes.
But let's find out if Bobi Wine himself agrees, because I ask him what his economic model for change in Uganda is and how he wants to turn things around for the country and for the people of Uganda.
Listen, the first thing is for Ugandans to re-own the country, re-own the economy. We are not going to throw around economic models in a country where citizens are enslaved. We want citizens to re-get their freedom and economic freedom, and then we are going to move forward. We are under state capture. All institutions are captured. All the numbers and statistics are being manufactured by the regime to paint a rosy picture of a country that is enslaved. Yes, our healthcare system is sick itself. Yes, our education system is broken. You can go on and on and on and on. But all that is happening, not because we are broke. No, we are not broke. We have money. It's happening because money is not doing what it's supposed to do, because we are eaten by the cancer of corruption. So when we stop the corruption, we'll have that money. We'll just allocate the funds to where they are beneficial to the population. For example, General Museveni uses almost $1 million daily. Now that money can do so much in terms of our education system. Our budget is largely taken up by security, by the military. But are we fighting any war? No, we are not. So it's just reallocation of funds where they're going to benefit our people, and the rest will be history. It is not rocket science. It only takes love for a country.
Now, Mr. Bobi Wine, if you succeed in unseating President Yoweri Museveni today, are you going to continue his agenda and plans, or are you going to start afresh?
This country went off the rails long time ago. We don't have a country, we don't have a government, we have a kleptocracy. So everything has to be overhauled in terms of healthcare, in terms of education, in terms of agriculture, in terms of infrastructure, but most importantly, in terms of governance.
If I am watching from the ghetto, for instance, in a locality that is not well developed in Uganda, I want to hear my leader telling me exactly what he can do to either take me out of the ghetto or make the ghetto better for me. What are your concrete, specific plans?
I come from the ghetto. I'm not shy about that. But I'm also let you know that we are not only looked at ghetto people. We don't intend to take nobody from the ghetto. We as ghetto people, we believe that we work hard. We do everything we do, not to leave the ghetto, but to make the ghetto a better place to live. So to make the ghetto a better place to live is first and foremost, give security to them. How do you give security? Secure them from poverty. Skill them. Many of our young people, especially from the ghetto, are not only unemployed, but they are unemployable. We want to ensure that we tap into their abilities. The place of the young people in our government is going to be at the forefront, like it already is. Yes, I'm not a youth anymore, but I'm not the oldest, and I have an even younger mentality.
So the question is, George.
Yes.
Is Robert Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobi Wine, the leader that Ugandans want?
And that question can only be answered by Ugandans. And that's why we asked our correspondent, Frank Eager, to speak to Ugandans and tell us what they think Bobi Wine could do for them if he attains the presidency.
We have several problems as youth that we are facing in this country. There's an issue of unemployment, poor service delivery, etc. And what I would request from him, and what I see and have observed, that he can really manifest through his works in this country, is making sure that there is creating of job opportunities for the youth in this country, of which I know he can do because he's part of the society. He has been in the hustling life with us. He knows exactly what the youth need in this country.
I think I'd love to see how he strategically tackles corruption, because as we've seen, there are many initiatives that have come across over the years through the current government, but they are all brought down or watered down by corruption. So for me, corruption.
If Bobi Wine won, I would wish he would address the issue of health and education as priority, top priority in this country. The health system and education system is still so wanting.
The socio-economic issues resonate across the continent, Mimi, definitely. And I mean, you've seen Ugandans express themselves to what they would want their leader or any leader they elect to do to them.
Right.
And I'm sure that is what Bobi Wine's campaign team should be keen on, what Ugandans are demanding from them. But, you know, running against President Museveni, it's not an easy task for the faint-hearted.
Especially for anyone who wants to stay in power. It's not always easy. You have to be well-armed because you are risking going to jail, arrested, beaten, or even killed. Sadly, we've seen some politicians also, you know, targeted and killed in some parts of Africa.
So, yes.
And the people of the NUP of Robert Kyagulanyi would give a lot of testimonies as to how dozens of its members have been missing, others in detention. Meanwhile, police have also been accused of using batons and tear gas to disperse crowds celebrating the nomination of Bobi Wine.
Yeah, definitely. These are things that we've reported, Mimi, and it's facts that there are some leaders within the NUP and within the opposition rank that are still, you know, being imprisoned, politically imprisoned. And this is something that most Ugandans have stood against. Mm. But also, let's look at the opposition, Mimi. We wouldn't say that it is so much united to fighting all these injustices.
You know, we've talked about opposition division a lot on this program. And when you look at also the how close Bobi Wine is with someone, a veteran political figure in Uganda like Kizza Besigye, you want to question how close are they when there are allegations that they are not having common grounds, that they are not working together? We know that Besigye himself has contested for the presidency at least 4 times, and he is facing legal troubles, facing treason charges, and he could potentially, as long as Museveni is in power, he might be in power also forever.
Someone was joking that President Museveni is requesting for the cell keys to where Kizza Besigye is being held.
Would he swallow the key?
I mean, that is a story for another day. But of course, we can't ignore that also within Bobi Wine's own party, the NUP, there are some cases of, you know, disunity.
So that is what I also discussed with Bobi Wine, because I wanted to really find out, what does it really mean to be an opposition party leader in Uganda, someone who challenges a leader who's been there for so many years. Let's hear what Bobi Wine told us.
It means two things. You can be opposition, good opposition, that one that is sponsored and paid and protected by the regime. And then you can be bad opposition or real opposition. Now, those are the ones that seek to unseat the regime. Those are looked at as terrorists, but also it means representing the pain and aspirations of Ugandans.
Talking about Mr. Kizza Besigye, have you visited him in prison? Have you gone to see him in jail? And what did you discuss?
Yeah, of course, I've visited Dr. Kizza Besigye numerous times since he was illegally incarcerated. And I've stood with him in court, and I still stand with him. We've discussed numerous things, but most importantly, we've discussed unity. We have agreed that we must work together and fight together and survive this dictatorship together. If we don't do that, our chances at freedom continue to reduce.
Don't you think that not working with President Museveni is the reason why most members of your party are defecting, accusing you of lacking a clear vision, accusing you of betrayal and selfishness?
I don't understand when you say most of our members. What members? What members are defecting? In every dictatorship, in every country, there are viable politicians. There are viable politicians whose conscience is worth a few coins, a few shillings of money. You will not rule that out. But those don't speak for the millions of Ugandans.
So what about reports of internal divisions within the party? Or are there no problems at all in the party?
There's no internal wrangling, but I'll also tell you that the dictatorship will strategize in all different ways and send people to join you in order to leave you. You know, that is also there. But we don't have any internal wrangling with the party. We are people that operate in clarity and in public view.
Bobi Wine says all is well.
All is well. I wouldn't expect a different response. And Bobi Wine is basically saying that he believes the National Unity Platform, that is the NUP party, a party he leads, holds the key to Uganda's future. He also says the movement he is building is not a dictatorship, but a space where dissent is welcome and different divergent views are also welcomed.
You know, the opposition is always saying that when they are not yet in power. But looking at the NUP's rise, it's been quite remarkable, George.
Yes, that's true. And if you look at the numbers in parliament, it's incredible. We are safe to say that it is the official opposition currently.
It's not bad, like you're saying, because we are looking at the numbers as you're talking about when we want to compare with the situation in Cameroon.
Yes.
Bobi Wine's party is doing quite a lot. In Uganda, we are talking about 57 MPs against a total of 529. And it raises the question, the massive crowds that we see in Bobi Wine's rallies. Have you seen these rallies? I've
seen the crowds, like when he calls for public rallies, and also on social media as well.
Yes, the mobilization that we see, the people, like it's a sea of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you question, even though the 57, I mean, within the context of Cameroon, is a lot.
Yeah.
But then out of 529.
Yes.
57 is a bit, is minimal.
It's quite dismal. And the crucial question, Mimi, is with over 75% of Ugandans being under the age of 35, we would call them, you know, the young people. Bobi Wine's base is predominantly young people.
Mm.
But how to transform this number to speak to delivering results tangible in an electoral
votes,
tangible
yes.
votes is, has been a question that Bobi Wine has been grappling with.
Very, very true, because Bobi Wine in himself has been criticized for exposing supporters to some risks as well, and not doing a lot to, you know, change things for himself, and not doing a lot to also support some of his supporters. So I asked him directly how he plans to convert the vast social media following into real electoral support, and how he intends to also support his supporters.
Mm-hmm.
I did not make any promise, and I'm not promising to protect anybody. I'm not even asking anybody to protect me. I'm asking the people of Uganda, each one, to take firm ownership of their country so that we can hold together. Our power, when we are united, is much more powerful than an individual. This is not about me. So I'm not offering any citizen protection because I'm not safe myself. But if we take a decision and say we are all going to be safe or nobody's going to be safe, we are all going to be free or nobody's going to be free, we are all going to be liberated or we are all going to be enslaved, we will change our country.
So, Mr. Bobi Wine, you have a lot of support on social media, people on different platforms supporting you, especially before, during and after the previous election. But the election results show that you were not as popular as what we have been seeing on social media. What are you going to do, or what are your plans to translate this social media support into tangible votes?
What do you mean tangible votes? We won the election. We beat Museveni.
If you beat Museveni, you'll be in power.
No. We beat him at the election. He beat us at violence. It's important to understand that. When the white people came and took over Africa, they did not beat the Africans at popular support. They just beat them at arms, imprisoned, exiled their leaders, and took over and colonized us. They did not get voted in that.
What are you going to do with the elites who have been in power for so many decades now? Where would you place them? And what is going to happen to them? Will you work with them? What is going to happen?
We have good and bad people among the educated and among the uneducated. We are going to give opportunity to the good people, the patriotic people. I will tell you without fear of contradiction that there are many people in General Museveni's government that we are privately in conversations with that are not comfortable with the way things are going. Some of them have even dared to speak out against this wrongdoing. People from the military. An example recently is General Kaindo Tafiri, is a general in Museveni's army, and many others. Those people should know that there's a better Uganda where they can better serve and where they can better advise.
I like this idea of wanting to work with everyone, because if those in power know that you're going to be very hard on them, they won't give you any chance at, you know, running the country.
Definitely, the system can turn against you.
So when the discussions get heated, what do we do?
Normally, we step into the sheds of wisdom and get to know our guests beyond politics. And this is the rapid fire question segment.
Any current president who is your favorite?
President Hakainde Hichilema.
Afrobeat or Chidandali?
Afrobeat is Chidandali. Afrobeat is Chidandali in my language. So take both.
Who is your favorite African artist?
That's a good one, right? My favorite African artist is Fela Kuti from Nigeria.
Where do you feel the most comfortable? When you wear your politician hat or when you are a musician?
When I'm a musician, without a doubt.
Trump or Putin?
None of them.
And one final question. President Yoweri Museveni or President Paul Biya?
None of them.
Interesting.
None of them. I mean, Bobby Wine is a renowned artist, and he uses none of them in his most of his lyrics. Yeah. You should check out on some of the music.
I will.
But Bobby Wine has always criticized regional blocs like the East African Community of not supporting the cause of Uganda and things that Ugandans are standing for and fighting for. What do you think about it?
I won't blame him, because look at the African Union, for instance. Mm. It promised to silence the guns on the continent by 2020. And what is happening in the DRC? What is happening in Sudan, in South Sudan? What is happening in Cameroon? What is happening in, you know, in some parts of East Africa, like mm-hmm. Ethiopia? We have a lot of countries now in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So that objective has not been attained. When the government was toppled in Niger, what did ECOWAS do? Meetings upon meetings, visits to Niger upon visits.
But you see, we're talking about politics in this particular case, and it will be perceived as, you know, interfering with internal issues of a country.
I mean, like, when you say you want to silence the guns and you don't succeed to do that, that's a failure. That's why...
That's for sure.
That's why most politicians, mm-hmm. I mean... politicians,
mm-hmm.
real politicians, will not trust international bodies and regional bodies, because they speak more than they act.
Yeah,
that's the right description.
All right, but you see, Mimi, the other allegation has always been that if you invite most of the external forces, they interfere with the internal affairs of a country, and particularly for Bobby Wine, he has been accused of receiving donor funds, money from, you know, Western nations,
mm-hmm.
to fund his and popularize his movements within the country to destabilize Uganda, so to speak.
So the question is, how founded are these allegations? I asked Bobby Wine if he's actually receiving money from external forces to boost his popularity. Let's hear what he told us.
No, we don't receive any support or any money from any Western countries. But we know that General Museveni receives money from the USA. General Museveni, like all dictatorships, are always puppets of imperialism. But they use reverse psychology to paint it on the opposition groups.
So what are you going to do if you were in Museveni's shoes? Would you receive the funds, or would you say no?
We are going to be like Ibrahim Traore, only that we are going to be Democrats.
How can you be like Ibrahim Traore and at the same time you're talking about being a Democrat?
We learn the good things, we reject the bad things. Even General Museveni, before he got spoiled, was a nationalist. We believe in democracy. We agree with Ibrahim Traore. We only differ from the way he takes power. We want to take power using people power. We want to take power non-violently and ensure that everything we do, we involve our population. We are going to be pro-African, pan-African. We are going to uplift our people. We are going to use our resources, our minerals, to transform our country.
Are you 100% sure that you can win the 2026 presidential election in Uganda?
More than that.
What if you are not elected president?
In a free and fair election, we respect that in a free and fair election. But let it be free and fair, without rolling out the army to intimidate the people, without imprisoning us, the contenders, without switching off the internet.
And if you are elected president, what is going to be your first move?
Me being elected is not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And the first move would be to free all political prisoners, including Dr. Kizza Besigye and hundreds of our comrades scattered in prisons and torture chambers across the country.
Says that they would accept the election results if it is free and fair.
And when elected, not if elected.
So today's conversation sheds light on Uganda's political crossroads and the struggle between continuity and change in a country where we've had the same leader for so many years, and the courage of young people demanding a voice, demanding to be heard. That is also called resilience. I know this word is used a lot by some dictators that we have in Africa, some leaders who have been there for a very long time. But that word resilience is what we are also seeing in young Ugandans that are trying to challenge nearly four decades of someone's rule, that is President Yoweri Museveni.
Yes, and more importantly, we've heard from Bobby Wine, who says his protest vote is a call for national renewal. And we've looked at the questions surrounding Uganda's opposition unity and institutions. But ultimately, the power to shape the country's future lies in the hands of Ugandans themselves through participation, accountability, and the ballot box. And for that case, the election is on 12th of January 2026.
So for more in-depth and unfiltered conversations on African politics and democracy, please subscribe under the Baobab Subscribe. And you can also find Under the Baobab where, George?
Through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course on our YouTube channel, DW Africa. My name is George Okachi, and thank you for watching.
And I am Mimi Mefo Neu. See you next time under the Baobab.